Welcome back, everybody. This is The Morning Drive on 102.5. I think Tom Petty has the theme song, Joe, for the Big 12.
Wow.
They're standing their ground. They won't back down, at least as of right now.
That sounds, yeah, exactly. The at least temporary theme song.
Want to bring in Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. Dana, first of all, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate your time. I really enjoyed what you wrote just the other day about the big question here. Something that's somewhat getting lost is in the fact that when these conferences say we are canceling winter, we were canceling all these fall sports, no sports until 2021, that all of a sudden, man, here comes NCAA basketball. At first, it was kind of left out of the discussion.
Yeah, I think everyone's been so concerned and running around trying to figure out what's going to happen with football. They stopped thinking about, oh, wait, we have a basketball season that starts in November, too. So, you know, the Pac-12 deciding to push everything to January 1 means basketball. So the Ivy League already had done that a month ago, but, you know, people tend to look at the Ivy League like, okay, they think differently. The Pac-12 is a power conference. It's a complete game changer in terms of how things are going to be handled. And I think it puts college hoops on notice, like, get your act together, essentially.
Yeah, Dan, and the thing is, you've had a lot coming out here in the last few days about what college basketball needs to do. An incredible piece, I thought, with you and other members of our college basketball staff on the idea of a non-conference schedule that would basically be in pods. And, of course, some of this mm-hmm. couldn't happen. Maybe all of it can't now if eventually this goes the way of no college basketball till January 1. But I love the idea of sort of creating these bubbles regionally and getting a round robin, I think it's 8 teams, 6 games, if I'm not mistaken. Some incredible potential here, including like Tennessee and Memphis and Chattanooga. Just tell me about that plan. And I mean, the Philly one is the best, though. I mean, you gave yourself the best one in Philly.
Well, if I get to cover it, man.
Exactly. But yeah, tell us a little bit about that plan. And even if this exact plan can't go into place, I think the idea here, the sentiment of creating some kind of bubble around, of course, the hurdles of college athletics and amateurism could really be beneficial here.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we operated from. Like, okay, so the non-conference season, you know, could be the trickiest thing, not just because of travel, but because of, you know, testing protocols. Leagues are like nervous about going outside to other leagues, right, that don't have the same testing protocols as them, and how do you maintain that? And we just started to kick it around, and we said, well, look, most of these schools, my daughter goes to Alabama, so this is her included, most of these schools are sending their students home before Thanksgiving, see it till January. So it gives you like 5-6 weeks of empty space where these, probably the basketball teams theoretically are going to be on campus anyway. So that's the perfect time to, quote, bubble them, if you will, let them just kind of find these pods. So originally we were going to do, all right, let's just do like regional ones. It'll be fun. We'll just do small regionals, like our dream scenarios, da 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 da. And then we could just do the Power Six. And then someone said, well, let's do all of them. We're like, okay. So we did 357 teams and 16 pods and kind of tried to make it so nobody had to bus more than 4 hours. Everything within bus range, every place had an arena, every place had ample hotels. And we did it. And it's funny because I talked to people who actually make real decisions in this, not a bunch of sports writers, but, you know, there is a sentiment for some kind of pod, if you will, in the non-conference season, in that very window, like using that window, whether it's to get non-conference games or squeeze as many league games in so guys are safe and use that time as best they can. So we're not completely off base. I don't think you'll see a 357-team pod, but, you know, I've just basically told everyone that if you guys decide to do it, The Athletic just wants sponsorship rights, but we're not paying you any money. We just have owned it because we developed it.
Well, it's only fair.
It's fair. It's only fair. I think that's fair. On the Morning Drive, here is Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. And, Dana, when you get blindsided with something, I can understand people scrambling a little bit. Like last year, the NBA cancels, yep, and therefore everybody else had to make quick decisions. But when the so-called big red truck is driving down the street at you slowly, you have an mm-hmm. opportunity to react. NCAA basketball is in a situation here where they have a little bit of time. So I don't think any of them really could sit back and say, hey, man, we had to make a snap decision quick, and this is why we decided this. That they have some time here, don't they, to make a wise, educated decision?
They do, and I have a story up this morning. I talked to Dan Gavitt, who's the executive vice president of the NCAA in charge of men's basketball, and that's exactly what he said. You know, they already, he said, we already have, you know, plan A and then contingency plan B, C, D. He said, you know, we already have, you know, we have used our time wisely. We are trying to make sure, you know, that we have as many thoughts in our heads and options as we can. That said, I mean, we know the virus controls everything. We don't control the virus, so everyone understands that people have to pivot and things change. But, you know, he did say that we are already getting organized. So I asked him, you know, when is the latest that you can decide if you have to push the start of the season back from November 10th? And he said, you know, really, it's got to be mid-September. These teams are scheduled to start practice September 29th. He said, you can't tell them September 28th, you're not practicing. So they will make a decision on the start of the season if it's going to change mid-September, and that will be where they operate from. Knowing, of course, that if things spike in November and you have to change again, you do. But he said, then we go to plan B, which we already have walked through. So they are doing, I think, something that football hasn't, which is getting a lot of people in the room. They operate a little differently. The Men's Oversight Committee can make decisions for the country and recommend them to the Division I Council. Football doesn't have that luxury. So I think basketball has some collegiality, if you will, that will work in its favor.
No doubt. I mean, Dan Gavitt's existence to me, Dana,
exactly.
is a big difference when you talk about comparing these two sports. Now, obviously, university presidents are still making decisions here.
Mm-hmm.
I think as some people have probably learned a lot about college athletics, I've had interesting discussions with family members like, well, what's the NCAA going to do? What are they going to rule on this? I'm like, well, they're sending thoughts and prayers because university presidents are making the decisions. But how important is it for college basketball to have a Dan Gavitt who is obviously right now thinking ahead, being proactive, planning things, some things that we obviously have not seen on the football side?
I think it's incredibly important. And on the other side, you know, the NABC just named Craig Robinson as their executive director. And Craig Robinson is a former coach who also happens to be Michelle Obama's brother. But he's very well respected and well liked. And so, you know, the NABC, the Coaches Association, also has somebody. But Dan is in all of the meetings. He's in the Oversight Committee meeting. He's in the selection meeting. He is in the conference commissioners meetings. He's in the TV deal meetings. He is, you know, he has got a foot in all of those things. So he is the person that, you know, has everyone's ear at some level, which football doesn't have. You've got, you know, the Pac-12 is making their decisions and the Big 12 is making theirs, and there's nobody kind of talking among all of them. And he knows that. I asked him last night, I said, are you comfortable being like kind of the de facto grand poobah? And he laughed. He's like, I'm not dubbing myself that. He said, but I understand that there is a responsibility that I have and I'm not shirking from it. So he recognizes that he can sort of be a mediator and help, which I think is pivotal and equally important. Look, it'd be one thing if they had this guy and nobody liked him. You could line up 100,000 people in college basketball, and there's not a single one that wouldn't say, I like and trust Dan Gavitt, and that's huge.
So Dana, yesterday we were kind of equating the NCAA with the referee in professional wrestling. They're there. And they're there to enforce rules, but there's not really a lot of rules for them to enforce. Is this whole thing telling us right now that although basketball is closer to it, that somehow, some way, that there should be some type of umbrella over these sports to where a decision might be more uniform and more easily made?
Yeah, I think this has exposed really the uselessness even more of the NCAA at a lot of levels. They're just such a behemoth and so powerless to make snap decisions. They're just not structured that way. It's like this committee has to recommend to that council who then makes this decision and then forms another committee. And then, oh, wait a minute, we don't have any jurisdiction whatsoever over football, so we can't even get involved with that. You know, we can decide to have fall sports championships, but you know, we might host a fall sports championship for soccer in November, but, oh, by the way, six leagues aren't playing. It's a hot mess. So, yeah, I think this has exposed the NCAA really as a really outdated structure. Can it be fixed? I don't know. I've actually started to talk to people to try to do a story on, let's pretend how we can recreate this thing. Let's just throw it out and start over. What would it look like? And I'm not sure I have the answer yet, but I think they're just not capable. That's really what it comes down to. They're just not an organization capable of making big decisions in critical moments. And then when they can, they're unwilling. I think right now, if the NCAA came out and said, we strongly recommend that football does X, I think a lot of commissioners and presidents would be like, cool, we can just take that and we'll blame them, but we'll run with it, right?
Yeah.
But someone else is saying it, cool, we'll run with that and we'll all, like someone else, we'll hop along because that's the NCAA recommendation based on medical findings and blah, blah, blah. But they won't even say that.
All right, Dana.
So here we are.
Yeah, here we are, exactly. Okay, real fast now. I've been asking this of college football connected people forever. And the answer changes every time. So now we get to ask the college basketball percentage confidence question of you. Right now, Dana O'Neill, percentage confidence that a 2021 NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament happened?
I'd say 75%. I think they can figure it out because I think they can bubble the tournament. It's just a matter of getting there with the regular season. So I think we'll have a tournament. I think they also realize that they can't afford to cancel it again, frankly.
Dana O'Neill from The Athletic, thank you very much for your time and your insight. Really enjoy reading your articles. Keep up the good work and hope to talk to you soon.
You bet. Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Dana.
All right. Thanks. And again, there's some really great points in the one she posted this morning, Joe, in terms of what is really going on and the time you may have to make a good decision for the NCAA basketball and the tournament as well. So what could make this the world's greatest spring in the history of sports? We'll tell you when we come back. This is The Morning Drive on 102.5.